This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's gone 10:32 on Monday. It's 101.9 High FM. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show with me, Nicholas Ingle, and you can send us your questions on 061-895-1019. We're now going to be chatting with Janine Rudwick, Certified Pediatric Sleep Consultant. Oh, that sounds so good. The topic is finding a balance for new parents on how to manage a newborn's sleep patterns as new parents without being emotionally drained. Janine, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And having gotten to bed at 2 o'clock on Sunday morning because of a very delayed flight, I'm valuing the sleep because I know that if I'm not getting the right amount of sleep that I need because I cut it very fine, it can basically have an effect on me for a couple of weeks. So I can't even imagine what it's like for new parents with new babies. And so let's chat about the value of sleep, not only for the little ones, but for the parents.
Yes, no, for sure. And I mean, it's something that, you know, when you're expecting your first, people tell you, you're not going to sleep now, you know, but you just don't know what it's like until you're in it. And until you've had weeks or months of interrupted sleep. And once you get back to it, if you do, it's like your body almost goes into shock and you feel more tired. But I think that's also such a big misconception in today's world with how busy everybody is. And the more you do, the better you are. But sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity, and it is important to our health. So, and it doesn't have to be a constant struggle. Of course, in the beginning, you can expect your baby to wake you up for feeds, and it should be that way. But it does not have to continue for months or years for some parents.
Right. And it is something that is manageable and that we can work with.
Definitely, yes, definitely.
So I think one of the things just to touch on is how vital sleep is. It's one of our greatest contributing factors to longevity. If we're not getting enough sleep, we're not getting the repair work done, and basically also our long-term cognitive function could suffer because we're not able to get sleep. So let's chat about how do we manage the baby sleep. What do we do? And then I have to ask you an important question on this one, which I hope is going to spark some fights in the community. How important is balancing the responsibility? Because the dads can't get up to do the feeding, or can they? So balancing the caring for the child.
Yes. I think it's so important going into motherhood to also just realize that you need to be kind to yourself, because it is a difficult period. And often you'll have a plan of, this is exactly how I would like the birth to go, this is how I want breastfeeding to go, and most of the time it does not work out the way that we plan it, because your baby doesn't come with a manual and you don't know what the situation will be until you're in it. So firstly, being kind to yourself, being kind to your baby, being kind to your partner, realizing that it is a phase, you know, and it is going to pass, and supporting each other in that. And when it comes to newborn sleep, their sleep is mainly managed because of their hunger levels. So if there's no other discomfort like cramps or things like that happening and they're feeding well, their sleep mainly will be because they will wake up when they're hungry. Very often newborn babies switch day and night, and this is because they don't have hormones as yet. So their sleep hormones only develop around 10 weeks of age, and this is when they start having sleep cycles. So before this time, it's very important to try and keep them in a light space during the day and wake them up for their feeds during the day so that they don't miss their day feeds. and try to get them into that rhythm of day and night. And a newborn baby can only be awake for about 45 minutes, and that includes feeding time, changing time. That's what they can manage. So pretty much the entire day you are spending feeding, getting them to fall asleep, and then they wake up and it all starts over again. So it is very exhausting, especially with mom being home all day with the baby. So to answer your other question about how the responsibility can be shared, that's definitely something that parents must try to discuss beforehand, and say, okay, dad works long hours, so mom is going to wake up for most of the feeds. But something that I have found works quite well with parents who do share these responsibilities is saying the first half of the night, dad will wake up and mom can go to bed early. And the second half of the night, mom will wake up and dad can get rest, just so that everybody can get at least maybe 4 to 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep. And it is possible for dads to assist, even if mom is breastfeeding. If the breastfeeding has been, if everything is going well, and you can introduce a bottle feed as well, even if it's expressed breast milk, where dad can just give one bottle so that mom can have a little bit of a longer stretch during the night, it makes a big difference. But I think discussing these things beforehand and then having a plan for sharing those responsibilities really does help to minimize conflict when it comes to that, and helping supporting each other.
So should couples, even before they conceive, when they're wanting to start a family, come and consult with a pediatric sleep consultant to see how to plan, how to structure? So I want to get an answer from you on that as soon as we're back from our ad breaks, and we'll chat a little bit more.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. We're chatting with certified pediatric sleep consultant Janine Rudwick. And I love that term. So for me, my favorite thing in the entire world is sleep. It's like, it's what I live for. It's what I work through the day for, so I can get sleep because I know how vital it is. We spoke about planning coming into the pregnancy, having a plan set in place. Should couples be chatting to pediatric sleep consultants?
I would say maybe while you're planning before pregnancy, I would say maybe it would be a little bit ahead. I think the best time would be once there is already a pregnancy, and maybe in the third trimester. I would say look at doing something like, we do offer something like a expectant mom consultation, which is of course for both parents, where we just explain what can you expect, what is normal, where do you need to start changing certain things to ensure your baby can have the best sleep possible. Because children up until the age of 5 years need 11 to 12 hours of sleep at night, plus age-appropriate daytime sleep. So they spend a lot of time sleeping, and if they don't get the sleep they need, they can't actually grow and learn as well as they could if they got the sleep they needed. So it's a really important thing. And of course, it's important for the parents to rest as well, because I don't think we can be as good parents, partners, employees if we are not getting the rest that we'd need. And I think something very close to my heart is telling parents that you need to get your information from reliable resources. There's so much information out there for us to have a look at, and it is overwhelming. And that is probably my top tip, is get your information from the right people, because there's so much guilt-inducing information on social media that can often make our mom guilt even worse, because mom guilt is a real thing.
So I think let's chat about that, because earlier on you did mention, not trying to be a superwoman, not trying to be a super mom, being kind to yourself. In your practice, how big a problem is this, where the moms are taking too much on themselves, pushing themselves too hard?
It's a huge problem. And I think, even before social media was there, and before it was so big, I think it was already difficult, because naturally we compare ourselves to our friends and family, and you know, that one's child's doing this already, why is my child not doing it? Or, and I just want to say that you must remember that this is your journey with your baby. It's not a race, it's not a competition. And every single day you figure it out. And in every season of parenting, you become a new parent again. You know, once your kids get to primary school, then there's other things you deal with. So don't be so hard on yourself and just try to take in everything that you can. And again, being kind to yourself. Don't expect yourself to be super mom. There is not such a thing as a super mom. It's difficult. Because when your baby is born, so are you being born as a mom, and you have to figure it out together. And remember that a bad moment doesn't make you a bad mom. We all make mistakes, and that's okay. And if you, especially like, let's say you're on social media, you're breastfeeding your baby, you know, you're going through, everybody's only putting their best stuff out there. And it's easy to make you feel like you're failing as a mom because your house is dirty, you didn't get to do the dishes or the laundry, your baby's room is a mess, you're struggling with breastfeeding. It's so easy to feel like you fail. So make sure that you find your village, you know, as soon as possible, even during pregnancy, is find your village, whether it's friends or family that's in the same season, or finding like a mom and baby group, you know, moms that's in the same boat that you can connect with. It's so, so important just to see, okay, it's not just me that feels like this.
It's absolutely vital. That hit me quite hard because I've been sober for 18 years, and as an alcoholic, the most valuable place for me to be is in a meeting with other alcoholics, because then you realize it's not just you. You are not. It's not weakness. It's not lack of ability. It's not that you're broken. It's just like everybody's going through this. I absolutely love that point. One thing I also wanted to ask was, and I want to touch on maybe some tips that we can do for the moms just to be a little bit kinder to themselves. But what about baby in the bed or parents sleeping in the baby's room, in the crib, on the floor? These kind of things. How important is it to maintain our own sleep spaces? Is it important? Is it important to have separate sleep spaces? What's best for the baby and for the family?
So first of all, we always want to put baby's safety first. And that is a very, very big thing that we always need to ensure. Even if you are co-sleeping with your baby, then it baby still needs to be in their own space, because adult beds were not made for babies. And I always say to my clients, I completely understand why it happened that your baby ended up in your bed, because you get to a point where you're just so exhausted and you need some sleep. But if you decide to do co-sleeping, have a co-sleep or cot next to your bed that the one side can be off, so that baby can still be in their own sleeping space. And the basic rules of it is ABC. Baby should be alone on their back in their cot. Okay, so that is where they should be sleeping. After we've looked at safety, this is where we want to look at, okay, it's a very personal choice of where you would like your baby to sleep. Some babies would like to, or some parents prefer to say, I want my baby in their own room from the start. And you know, today, we have the safety monitors and parents have cameras up and everything, so they know their baby's safe in their own space. And I was one of those moms. I'm a light sleeper and I felt like I couldn't rest with my baby right next to me. Then you get parents who prefer to co-sleep and they want to keep their baby in their room at least for the first 6 months or the first 12 months.
Right.
But as long as you do it safely. And then, of course, it's also something that you need to discuss as a couple. Say, okay, where can we meet in the middle? Maybe dad would like baby to move out the room and mom is struggling to let go of baby out the room. You know, where can we meet in the middle to make the change gradual for everybody? Say, start out by letting the baby nap in their own room during the day and maybe a part of the night in their own room, and then moving them, you know, so that eventually do get to a space where both parents' needs are being respected.
Right. And that, because also this is going to affect your sleep at the end of the day and affect your ability to be the best version of you. So
definitely, yeah, because babies also have a lot of light sleep. So they make a lot of sounds and movements in their sleep. And as a first-time mom especially, as soon as they make you jump up to see what's going on. And all those times, you've woken up.
Okay. So if baby wants you, he'll let you know, or she'll let you know.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. What are some tips that the moms can do to improve the quality of their sleep, their rest, and their just general well-being?
So definitely is having a good bedtime routine. Just as you want to install a good bedtime routine for your baby from the start, which is a really good foundation for good sleep, have a good bedtime routine for yourself too. You know, often once the baby's in bed, the mom's like, okay, now I need to do washing, now I need to do this. But it's okay if your house is not perfect in this phase of your life. You also need to rest. So have your little routine, because that set bedtime routine helps to cue your brain that sleep is coming. So having some reading time, having a cup of tea, you know, having a quiet time in dim light once your baby's asleep is a really good place to start your night out from. And I think also taking help when it's offered is really important in the day. Even if a friend says, can I look after your baby for an hour so you can have a nap or go to the shop, or can I make you a meal? Yes, please. You know, take people's offers of kindness to help you out.
That's absolutely fantastic, because it's not only the sleep that's important, it's a little bit of personal time, just time to let the brain switch off during the day. That's absolutely vital. There, I'd like to touch on, we've mentioned kids up until the age of 5 after this ad break, and just get an understanding on how important sleep is and that structure. We'll talk about that when we're back.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. We've been chatting with Janine Rudwick, certified pediatric sleep consultant. As we wrap up the show, I just wanted to chat to Janine about kids and getting them to bed on time. How important is it from baby to 5 years old? Because I see it quite often, the kids are up on the iPad or on the phone, or they're watching TV and it's 11, 12 at night or later on the weekend. So sleep for the child, and how important is routine for the parents and for the babies, just as we wrap up?
So sleep, just like for us, and you know what you feel like when you haven't had a good night's rest. You mentioned it at the start of the show. And the thing that we need to remember is that when you look at a newborn baby, they spend most of their 24 hours sleeping. And as they get a bit older, it gradually gets less. Our growth hormone is only released while we're sleeping. Mm. So your baby is literally growing while they're sleeping. So if they're not getting the sleep they need, they actually can't physically grow like they should. A lot of important things happen during sleep, during our light sleep phases, our deep sleep phases. A lot of important things happen in our brains. But I'm sure you have maybe experienced an overtired toddler. And it's almost like, it almost seems like somebody gave them an energy drink, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So what happens in our brains, and this happens obviously a lot easier for kids, when they are overtired and they get into that overtired phase, their brain says, okay, I'm tired now, I can't sleep, I need to produce more cortisol, which is our awake hormone, but also our stress hormone. And that then causes our sleep hormone to not be able to do its job, because those two hormones work together. And that cortisol running through our systems then makes it harder for us to fall asleep and also to have a quality sleep, because now our melatonin, our sleep hormone, can't take us into our deeper sleep phases. And when your child is not getting that sleep, especially as toddlers as well, you know, they may seem okay because they're a little bit newer than you are, and they don't feel as tired as you do, and they get to do some naps during the day, but I promise you they're tired too. And that causes for way more temper tantrums, and just way more difficulty. Often I'll find with clients within the first 3 to 4 days of implementing a plan and helping the child sleep better, they eat better too, because our metabolism is also included in our circadian rhythm, our body clock, and it all is supposed to do a certain job. And when we're not sleeping, our hormones can't do what they need to.
Sure. So sleep is, it's vital. Just as we wrap up, how important is routine and guarding that routine?
Extremely important, extremely, extremely important. When it comes to kids, they like to know what comes next. And even as babies, if you've started implementing like a consistent bedtime routine, your baby, it starts cueing your baby what comes next. And they like that. It gives them security to know what comes next. And the same thing counts for toddlers. So try to have consistency in certain things in your day routine. But of course, this doesn't mean that you need to be nap trapped until they're no longer napping, or you can't have a life anymore. The occasional outing is the exception, but most of the time they will be having in a good routine at home. So it's important to keep them to a good bedtime, making sure they can have that 11 to 12 hour night, making sure that they've got an age appropriate daytime routine where they're not getting too much sleep and not too little sleep, eating at the correct times. All of those little routines will give your baby security and actually make them happier and more secure with you.
And more chilled. Absolutely fantastic advice. Janine, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I greatly appreciate it. And it's as important as it is for us for adults, it's more important for the kids and for babies. And don't be a super mom and stick to the routine. That's absolutely wonderful advice. Thank you to Janine Rudwick, certified pediatric consultant. We've been chatting all things sleep. You've been listening to the 101.9 Chai FM. It's been the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. And given the fact that we've been chatting pregnancy, I'd like to give a shout out to dear friends of mine, Big Dog and Family. You know who you are on the expected grandchild that's coming in July. Thank you for joining us. I look forward to chatting with you next week.